John Mark Stoddy, Riverside Resources, how are you?
It's great to be with you, Andy. Thanks a lot.
Great to be with you. We're at the 2025 Rural Symposium here in Boca Raton. Tell me a little bit about the vibe, what you're feeling, what you're talking to with different investors coming by and asking you about your company, but just really, tell me about the vibe you're getting.
Being at this conference is wonderful. It's our favorite conference of the year. Been so lucky. Rick Rule was a founding investor 18 years ago with Riverside. And we've been coming to the conference, although the conference has moved from different places and doing different things. The vibe this year is so much fun. It's old home week. I love it. I have people coming that are owners. And this year we dividended another company to shareholders. So this time people are coming, it's like coming to the wedding. And people are coming and giving me hugs. People are coming and saying thank you. And people are saying, oh, that's how that showed up on my account. Because magically, by owning Riverside, you got shares in Capitan. Magically, you got shares now in Blue Jay. So people have these shares. And so people are coming going, that's where that came from. And I go, it's so crazy. I told you a year ago, this is what we're going to do. And so this vibe this time is so much fun because it's like, I told you so, and there it is. And yeah. So it's really fun.
Well, then let's pin that thought here to where you dividend companies or different companies, because that's an interesting concept that's not very common. It does happen, but it's not very common. So I want you to pin that thought there. Tell us about Riverside. And this is, I'm embarrassed to say, I first met you here at the conference and first found out about the conference. And I say that embarrassed to say, it seems like it. I love the concept of royalties. I love this concept of Project Generator. Why haven't I heard more about you? That's what I'm asking myself. So tell me about the company. Give me a 30,000 foot view and then we'll work it down a little bit.
I think one thing is we're small. We're a small company. We've been going a long time and we're not out there overly spending a lot of money. We're very cost conscious. We come to this conference. We don't do a lot of conferences. We really like this conference. This is important. Secondly, we spend a lot of time in the field. We're operators. We do the exploration work. We've worked four major companies with them funding us, most notably with BHP, prior with Billiton, prior with that with Antofagasta, with Kinross, with Cliffs, many partners. So we're the guys on the ground doing the work. We're out there doing the exploration. And so Riverside, we're technical. We have geologists. Myself, I got a PhD, overly educated in studying and that. But then we're also focused on working on large projects. So being in the background and doing that. And we've done that and retained royalties. So Riverside has always been, let's end up with a royalty. Let's not put out shares and try to be the hero that tries to make the big mine. We want to own the royalty on those big mines. And that's been Riverside's core value as a company.
Okay, so you're generating projects, Project Generator, and but the goal is a royalty. Explain that a little bit more about how, I'm not confused, but I can see how that can be confusing.
So there's three parts. So first off is we want to own a project. Right. We forward that project. We make the decision at some point, are we going to do it all ourselves or are we going to find a partner for it? And generally, we find a partner and they go ahead with the project. When the project comes back, we reevaluate. Is that actually quality enough that it could be bundled and actually put forth ourselves and given to our shareholders? Or do we farm it to another party and have it move ahead? So at the end of the day, we protect our share structure by not overspending ourselves. Now, people say, I really like to own the asset. Well, you own the asset in Riverside. At the end of the day, it's going to take a lot of dilution for that project to become a resource and much more so to become through the different studies. And people say about building a mine, there's a whole bunch of steps of value. And our step of value is discovery and that early resource. So Riverside being in that game has been a key part. And the way we've done that on multiple projects is by spreading the risk with partners.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. And then you get a royalty. What's your typical royalty? Is that 2%? Is that 5%? Just give me an average across the royalties that you have.
So you have to make so it's 2% net smelter royalty. You need to make a royalty that's enough that it's significant, but not that it's burdensome. If it's overly burdened, it's just going to get cut back anyway. By doing 2%, it fits well. Everyone else can build around it and you can progress. We're early stage. Also, that's transactionable. So then people can do deals around it or do additional deals. So it doesn't overhinder the ability for an asset to grow. So basically, by doing that, we weren't actually buying royalties. So recently, Sandstorm was just bought out. Nolan Watson did excellent. They really did well, and they were able to get money and do it and do it. Our way was actually to build up. So now at this point, we have a whole portfolio, copper, gold, a whole bunch of different projects, and that's really good. But we didn't buy those royalties. We used our databases, we did our work, and worked up the projects where we got the title and eventually then farmed the title to someone else to carry it forward.
So it's very organic.
Very organic.
Got it. Okay, so what's really attractive to me about you is I'm a total geek and nerd when it comes to share structure and protecting value. And you made a comment, you have how many shares outstanding do you have? Because what you're going to tell me is really tight. So go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm really proud of it, and I work really hard. So we have fewer than 75 million shares out. Riverside has not done any substantial financing since prior to COVID. So prior to COVID, we did financings with Rick, not since. No warrant overhang, no, none of that stuff. We've been very tight, always preserved the capital structure.
Got it. Okay. So how are you going to grow then with such a tight share, so which I'm a huge fan of, but I also want growth? How do you accomplish that?
So we really work with partners. So first off is we create these new companies that spin out of Riverside, and we get value as we spin those out. In the past, we kept the shares.
We're taking that pin out now, right?
Exactly. So in the past, for the first 10 years, we kept the shares and use that value to grow the value of Riverside. So we didn't dividend those shares to shareholders for the first 10 years as we built the business. In the second 10 years now, we can actually have enough of a business where we have projects, we have cash flow coming in, we're able to get cash flow from our different transactions, we're able to do things where we can keep growing the portfolio. We work in jurisdictions that we know well, we work around central bases, we're not everywhere, we work on centralized business that we can use the value of scale and using the infrastructure that we already built up. We've done the operating work for BHP, where we bought trucks. We did the work for Kinross Gold, where we bought all the equipment. We've trained up the team where we can work, and we're working in places where we have the databases. So now it's simply adding on to what we already have. So our generating cost is micro small. We're staking, we have the team of people, and we actually have been able to do it efficiently. We've learned how. We learned using OPM, other people's money, to the point where now we're able to do that, and we use still doing new alliances and new programs. We always are working where we're a value add part of a transaction.
Got it. And you also, you made a comment off camera where you actually are the operator of the operation, if you would, to sound redundant. Tell me about that, and does that provide a significant cash flow into the company?
It really does. For example, I have a copper rock right here I brought. It's a copper rock. And so people are looking for copper. Well, we own these copper projects. So we're the operating team. We bring the exploration people. We do the work. We're on it every day. On it every day is a Monday, always on it, and provide the turnkey exploration. And that provides, we charge a 10% fee for it. It really just covers our costs. Myself as a geologist, I bill 80% of my cost to the work that I'm doing. So our burn rates can be very low. Other than the investor relations and marketing and things like that, we just have to stay public and it keeps our burn rate low. Everything else, the money can go in the ground, the money we get. So right. We're still spending 3/4 of our money in the ground.
Right.
And we're getting back the money for operating, and we displace our costs by operating on projects that we own. So we're not a consultancy, we're not doing on things that we don't own. But on things we own, we're glad to be the operator. As long as we're the owner, we want to operate to make sure we don't screw it up, to make sure we don't make the wrong promises, we don't make the wrong decisions, and particularly we know the data. We are data geeks. I started building this as a database company, and data and knowledge is golden. And we focused on that mantra for the last 18 years, and that gave us the best knowledge of projects where we're working.
Got it. So. Talk a little bit about how much cash you have in the bank, and you do have a burn rate. Why should investors not be concerned about that? Why isn't that a problem?
So Riverside has $4 million in the bank right now, no debt, no overhang, payables, everything is managed. We own our properties, we don't have other things coming. Generally, we've spent $1 to $2 million a year, each year in exploration and doing work, and we generally get back $1 million-ish in kind of payments coming to us. The reason not to worry is that we have shown over time we have balloon payments from different transactions. Right now, our project is working on one of the projects with Quest Corp, for example. We own 9.9% of Quest Corp now. We're being paid in shares. We're glad to be share owners. As those shares escalate, that's great. They need to spend $5.5 million in the ground. If they don't, we get the property back. We hope they do. That's great. We get paid in shares. Those shares at some point could be transferred into capital as well. Not that we need to, but over time we've been able to show that we've done that and we've made good amount of income that way. The $4 million is cash. That's what we have on the bank.
Right.
We're not talking about any value of shares. We try to use a mark to market and just keep it simple and just kind of not get into that game of what the share value is. So that's cash in the bank where we have that and see, you know, long-term savings deposits.
Yeah, and I love that you put it back into the company in the ground. And that's really talking to all my viewers and listeners. The model is really, yeah, you have a burn rate, but they're not out raising money. Again, a balloon payment, selling equity, selling the shares, whatever. That money's going, the burn rate is going back into the company, getting more projects, and that's where you get your growth. So let me ask you here, what are the catalysts here of the next 6 months, and what's really the plan over the next, you can go out 12 months, about how to give more value to the shareholders and how to grow the company?
Well, right now the catalyst on Blue Jay, on the spin out of Blue Jay, is getting that listed. It'll be great for the past shareholders that have been up to now. Going forward for the next 6 months is working on drill discovery. Drill discovery is where you really make the value in this industry. So we've just put up a news release this week. The drill project is progressing and we're getting ready to drill in Mexico at the Union project, that's one. We also have the Cecilia projects, another, and we have a third one going in Canada. So those are three different projects there, gold projects. So those in the next 6 months are catalysts coming. In the next 12 months is then potentially going forward with what are we doing with our next portfolio. We've had these good portfolio runs and so that's really good. So I think those are in the 12 month, the portfolio in the short term is the drill results from our partners drilling and the results. We're really excited about that, where we're operating particularly.
Okay, so I'm an active investor, and just to all my viewers and audience out there, none of these questions were pre-rehearsed or anything like that. But I am gonna ask you, I think it might be a surprising question. I am an active investor in Mexico, and Mexico's had some challenges, to say the least, over the last 36 months or so. Do those affect you about getting permitted to mine, open pit versus underground? How does this affect Riverside?
Totally, no, and that's why Riverside's done what we've done. So Riverside started in Mexico, we've been going for a long time, and we diversified beyond Mexico. We took our lead asset, which is in Mexico, which is Capitan, and we gave that to shareholders and allowed that to go forward. And now that's over $100 million value and has grown because it's a single asset. Secondly, we added on programs in Ontario, built out the work in Ontario. Mexico, it's not just 36 months, it's been the last 8 years.
Right.
And it's been a long time. And it's been actually, you know, since 2010, it's been challenging. And we've been able to ongoingly work there and make money. And the truth is, Mexico has been the world's largest silver producer for the last 500 years.
Right.
It's a mining country and you can work there. We have all Mexican staff. My father, he was from Mexico and I grew up speaking Spanish and we have a real affinity to it. So for us, we use all local people. We're working, so we're part of that. And so for us, it's a place we've worked. I started working there in 1989. So we've been there a long time. So for us, it's the way of being. But yeah, the last 3 years, been difficult, these different things. The truth is that mines are going. The truth is we're drilling. The truth is we're getting permits. So there's all the noise and there's reality. You look at our consistent flow of news, of progress, you do get exploration permits. You do get the ability to mine. You do get the ability to do things. some of the different things they say are out there, but they're ways of working with the system legally. We use a lot of lawyers and have to work through the system, but you can work in Mexico. And we also work in British Columbia, as I said, some of the catalysts, so we work beyond. So for the Riverside shareholders, you get a lot of exposure both outside of Mexico and Mexico, but both.
Yeah, it's real sad. If I could talk to my viewers and listeners here for a second, I really think the magic is in the model, if you would, being a prospector and generator, as well as a royalty company. What you are allowing yourself to do is really focus on what you're really good at, where you're good at, yet have a diversification in different assets, because you're not bogged down on something, meaning something you're not good at or you don't have the resources for. That's why you have a partner, that's why you have somebody come in and then more or less take over the project financially, if you will. So, John, Mark, is there anything else you want to share with all the viewers and listeners out there that you want to share about the company, that you can share? And how do people find you, and what are your ticker symbols, and what exchanges are you traded on?
Really like coming on your show. You have a really big following. You work with Rick Rule and you do really good stuff. And I've watched your videos and liked them, and it's a real honor.
Way too kind.
That's true. You know, and I'm an investor.
Yeah.
And Riverside, I wanted to make the very best investment. And people come to Rivers and they go, man, the guy is really honest. He's really committed. And I am.
Yeah.
And it's been really fun. And so it's great to be at this show so many times. And so for us, you can find us. We're wide open. I have a YouTube channel as well, Geo Tutorials at John Marks Geo Tutorials. Our website, rivres.com, our social media as well. And we have an 800 number as well. Welcome people reaching out to us, and we really are open. We're there at Market Open, and really, you know, glad to just explore about the market. And it's not about, you know, what's happening today. It's just the big picture, and very transparent. Glad to talk about Mexico or about any jurisdiction. But it's great to be on your show.
Thank you so, Mark. I'll put everything that you said in the show notes below so people can find you. And John, Mark, and Riverside did not pay for this interview. I was happy to have them on, and I asked them to come on just off my own accord. So I just want to thank you so much for your time, and look forward to following up and hearing about the progress for throughout the rest of the year.
That'd be great, Andy. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.